Good morning and welcome to today's oil market update with Callum McPherson. How was your weekend, Callum?
Very good, and you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. So, on the face of it, quite a significant cut by OPEC was announced last week. What do we know about these cuts?
Well, the headline figure is a cut of 500,000 barrels per day, and that is split at roughly 370,000 of cuts coming from OPEC members and 130,000 barrels per day coming from non-OPEC signatories to the cuts, such as Russia. And this is in addition to the 1.2 million barrels per day of cuts that were agreed at this time last year. And Saudi Arabia has pledged that they will voluntarily cut by a further 400,000 barrels per day beyond the formally agreed cuts, provided that others comply with the cuts they've agreed to. And if you add all that together, as the Saudis are very keen to point out, that brings us to a cumulative cut of 2.1 million barrels per day. And these fresh round of cuts will take effect on the 1st of January. Now, how long the cuts will then last isn't completely clear. The current round of cuts agreed last year were due to end on the 31st of March. And OPEC has announced that there will be a further ministerial meeting of OPEC and non-OPEC members on the 6th of March to discuss the cuts. So I think the expectation, although it hasn't been explicitly stated, is that these cuts will be rolled out at least through the remainder of next year.
So how much of a surprise is this for the market?
Well, in the lead-up to the meeting, I think it was looking like there wasn't going to be any change. The possibility of cuts started to be discussed the weekend before the OPEC meeting, but until then, it looked unlikely that anything was really going to be decided. So, to that extent, it was a surprise. But I think the question is, how meaningful are these cuts really? Because there are a few question marks. One of them is about condensate. These are light products, so things like butane and propane, also known as natural gas liquids, which OPEC members don't include in their numbers. So when we talk about OPEC producing 29 million barrels per day, that's 29 million barrels per day of crude oil. In addition to that, they produce over 5 million barrels per day of this so-called condensate. Now, the non-OPEC signatories to OPEC cuts were evaluated in respect of their targets, were evaluated on all of their petroleum production, so that the crude oil and the condensate. And the Russians were arguing that this was unfair. So OPEC separates out its condensate, but for Russia, you're expecting us to introduce that, include the condensate in the numbers. And they had said that the reason that they were not able to comply with the agreed targets was because of this condensate they were producing. So it's now been agreed that condensate will be taken out of the numbers and won't be subject to these limits for non-OPEC members, just as it isn't for OPEC members. But what does that all mean in practice? Will they now have to rebase the cuts back to crude and condensate production in October 2018, which is the baseline for the original cuts? I'm not sure this is entirely clear, but I think that probably the assumption one could make is that Russian production will continue at current levels and not be cut, as the allocation total produced by OPEC seems to suggest. Then we have the subject of compliance. Now, Iraq in particular is overproducing by about 250,000 barrels per day relative to the now. I mean, they weren't complying anyway, but now that compliance has become even worse because of these new cuts, if they don't comply with them, that is. Now, the Saudis have threatened to end their voluntary cut if other countries don't comply with their cuts, and Iraq has said that it will indeed comply with its requirements under these cuts. But we will see if that happens in practice. And then finally, the question mark, as we've mentioned already, is the longevity of this agreement. It doesn't really seem to have any longevity beyond the next meeting, which is now scheduled for March. So it will be really down to what OPEC decides then. Anyway, bearing in mind these various issues, particularly the changes connected with condensate, my feeling is that the cuts probably mean about 300 barrels per day cut if fully complied with in practice. So, of course, if Iraq doesn't comply with them, then that alone would pretty much negate the effect of others cutting. So, even if compliance is strong, if oil demand grows by, let's say, 1.2 million barrels per day next year, these cuts, if they do mean something like 300,000 barrels per day in practice, would mean that supply from non-OPEC countries would only have room to grow by 1.5 million barrels per day, which is very much at the lower end of the forecasts for demand growth for next year. And so oil prices may need to move lower than they are now to dampen down supply growth to ensure that it doesn't grow by something like more than, say, 1.5 million barrels per day if the market is to remain balanced.
Okay, and just touching on the market, it's moved higher, though, it seems, and Brent went up to $65 per barrel.
Well, I think some speculators have been caught off guard by the news last week. But let's be clear, though, the move back to $65 per barrel, it's not a dramatic one. It's taken us through the 200-day average, yes, but we're now back below that again today. So it isn't yet a particularly significant move. The move in WTI, I think, is a little bit more significant, though. I mean, that went up to $60 per barrel. It has been performing a little more strongly than Brent of late. But I think there is a lot of scepticism about this deal. And while it might help to support prices in the short term, I'm not sure it argues for prices necessarily moving significantly higher. As usual, the detail behind the deal is not particularly clear, and I think people are going to continue to try and read through the lines and work out what's really going to go on in the background. And on top of that, of course, the trade narrative continues to bubble away, and I think that will come back to the fore a bit now that the OPEC meeting is out of the way.
Okay, so should there be any levels to look out for as well?
Well, if we look back to the behaviour of the markets over the last 6 months, going back to June, bear in mind that we had a quite significant sell-off from May into June, but since that time, or over that time, Brent has mostly been below $65 per barrel, except for some periods in June and July when it rallied up to about $67.50. So I think this $65 to $67.50 area is a pretty significant one, and so the question is, do we see enough in this deal, or perhaps some other reasons, that are enough to suggest the market should move up out of that kind of range? And I'm not entirely sure we have, to be honest. Then, on the other hand, if the market does lose heart a little bit in things, then we look to the downside. What have we got there? Well, we've got moving averages, the 50 and 100-day averages, in the 61.25 area. So I think that's an important support area on the downside. And then after that, we've got recent lows, which are close to $60 per barrel, just above $60 per barrel.
Brilliant. Thank you for your update, Colin.
Thank you.